Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 24, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is one of Kunti's prayers. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanad Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritshrataha Mridhe Mridhe Neka Maharathastrato Dronyastratas-chas-mahare-bhirakshetaha. Kunti, praying to Krishna, says, you getting that fifth canto also? Yeah, get the right verse. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us. It would be easy if you had the book. You could just read it. Huh? You have the first canto in Telugu? You have it? Yeah. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. Chapter 8, text 24. Purport. The list of dangerous encounters is submitted herein. Although I'll add here, it's a truncated list. There are many more. These are some of the major difficulties that the Pandavas underwent. Devaki was once put into difficulty by her envious brother, otherwise she was well. But Kunti Devi and her sons were put into one difficulty after another for years and years together. So there's a comparison. Devaki had a difficult time, Vasudeva and Devaki, but then it was over. It was quite a long time they went through difficulty. But Srila Prabhupada makes the comparison that Kunti and her sons were put into difficulty practically from their whole life. When they came, they were raised, first of all, in their childhood among rishis. And you could say quite an idyllic childhood, apart from the fact that their father passed away. But when they came down to the plains into the protection of their loving uncle, all their troubles began. The Pandavas and Kunti Devi, were put into trouble by Duryodhana and his party due to the kingdom, and each and every time the sons of Kunti were saved by the Lord. Once Bhima was administered poison in a cake. Once they were put into the house made of shalak and set afire. And once Draupadi was dragged out and attempts were made to insult her by stripping her naked in the vicious assembly of the Kurus. The Lord saved Draupadi by supplying an immeasurable length of cloth, and Duryodhana's party failed to see her naked. Similarly, when they were exiled in the forest, Bhima had to fight with the man-eater demon, Hidimba, Rakshasa, but the Lord saved him. Just leave it. So it was not finished there. After all these tribulations, there was the great battle of Kurukshetra, and Arjuna had to meet such great generals as Drona, Bhishma, and Karna, all powerful fighters. And at last, when everything was done away with, when they thought, it's terrible, it's horrible, but but it's over. The battle is over. There couldn't be anything worse now. Even the battle was over. All the remaining Pandava warriors, including the sons of the Pandavas by Draupadi, they were all killed in the night by Ashvatthama. It's all over. It's terrible, but it's all over. But even then, it wasn't all over. Ashvatthama tried to kill Parikshit in the womb. And at last, even when everything was done away with, there was the Brahmastra released by the son of Dronacharya to kill the child within the womb of Uttara. And so the Lord saved the only surviving descendant of the Kurus, Maharaj Parikshit. Oh, yeah, okay. We recommend everyone to read this Srimad Bhagavatam. We might think, oh, it's a book of spiritual knowledge, so you get peace, and then when we come to the spiritual level, you will be very peaceful and everything will be very nice. And this morning I spoke about caring for cows. Even people who are not particularly devotionally inclined, by serving the cows, they hope to be elevated to the heavenly planets. And we think, I go to the heavenly planets, everything will be nice, everything will be peaceful. The people of highly exalted consciousness, demigods, they're supposed to be in the mode of goodness. So all this stress I have living here in Hyderabad, and I'll go there. There'll be no pollution, no elections, no mothers-in-law. All the kinds of possible types of difficulties which exist here. I'll go to the heavenly planets. Everything will be nice. But we see that even such great exalted devotees as the Pandavas. Or you may think, I'll take to devotional service and then everything will be peaceful. But even such great exalted devotees as the Pandavas, who are all sons of demigods, they had to face so much trouble. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of so narrations of so many troubles and difficulties. We may think, well, just chant Om and merge into some light and everything is all peaceful. But it's not like that. This material world is not peaceful. Even in the heavenly planets, where the quality of enjoyment is far more than on this planet. But there also, there are many disturbances. Another narration is given in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam and elsewhere in Shastra. It's of the Daksha Yajna, the sacrifice organized by Daksha. Of course, he organized many sacrifices, but one particular sacrifice, which, like all other sacrifices, was arranged to bring auspiciousness. It may be for various purposes, but the sacrifices they're arranged so that there will be auspiciousness, so that something good will come about. Of course, there can be sacrifices performed for the sake of killing enemies also. That's described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, that in Varanasi, the sacrifice was performed, from which a demon came. Sudakshan, I think his name was, with the aim of killing all the Yadav dynasty. So, but from the point of view of the king of Kashi, the son of the king of Kashi who organized that, that was auspicious. Of course, the demon failed, so he came back and killed everyone in Varanasi. So it didn't work out properly. So there may be Tvashta, he also performed a yagya from which came the demon Vritra for the sake of killing Indra. But from his perspective, from Tvashta's perspective, that was auspicious. So the sacrifice is performed for the sake of auspiciousness, but it turned into the most terrible event in the history of the universe, we could say. The Kurukshetra battle, the Daksha Yagya, they're all terrible events which they of cosmic significance. The demigods were also watching the Kurukshetra battle. They'd also many demons had taken birth to bolster the forces of Duryodhana. Duryodhana himself, the personality of Kali, had entered within him. So he was, there was nothing you could say to persuade him to be a better person. He was through and through a demon. Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodha parisham evacha agyana cha bijatasya partha sambadam asurin. He was born with the qualities of, seemed to naturally manifest in him, of arrogance, pride, conceit, harshness, anger, ignorance. Agyana cha abhijatas, he was born with these qualities. So we see that there are some people like that. It's the nature of this material world. Some people are born in this world like that. Dvo bhuto sargo sarge lokesmin daiva asura evacha. Some people, there are two classes of people in this world, the godly and the ungodly, or the demoniac. And persons of demoniac propensity, they always cause trouble for others. And they always think they're right. They can't be convinced otherwise, and by any means. Even Krishna himself tried to convince Duryodhana, personally. But Duryodhana would have nothing of it. He was not prepared to give even 5 pinheads of land to the Pandavas. You might think that, well, there's some problem, let's discuss. But what are you going to discuss with someone who's not willing to give even 5 pinheads of land? So completely unreasonable. Only has his own agenda in mind to push that. So in this material world, there will be some disturbance. Even among such an exalted line. After all, it was the same family. But in the same family, some were godly and some were ungodly. So the battle had to come about. Lord Shiva is by nature very peaceful. When he gets angry, the whole universe gets destroyed. Otherwise, he's by nature very peaceful. Even when Chitraketu insulted him, his wife got angry. He didn't get angry. He was just calm. You see? And she was surprised. Parvati became surprised that I cursed him. He doesn't mind. Narayana parasarve nakutaschena bhibhyati swargapavaga narakesh vapitulyartha darshana Then Lord Shiva explains, he is a Vaishnava, so he doesn't get disturbed. Even if he's in heaven or hell or liberation, he thinks they're all the same. He doesn't give any particular importance to whatever particular circumstance he's in, whether it's very desirable or very undesirable. He's attached to Narayan, that's all. But Lord Shiva, he was central in the disturbance in the Daksha Yajna, not due to any fault of his own. Others caused problems for him. So that description of the going back and forward here, I'll make some comparison of the Kurukshetra fight and the Daksha Yajna, because they're both major upheavals. Of course, the Kurukshetra battle, that was coming. Everyone knew it was going to happen. With the Daksha Yajna, it was unexpected. They're performing a sacrifice, and there was some disturbance. Sati came, and then she did self-immolation by yogic power. So that was a major disturbance. And actually, Daksha should have cancelled the yajna at that point. If such a thing happens, you should just cancel the whole thing. His daughter committed suicide, not a sinful suicide in this case. But he wasn't afraid. Go on. Stupid girl. Let her do whatever she likes. He went on. He was hard-hearted, cold-hearted, stone-hearted. And they thought, anyway, she committed suicide. Anyway, what can we do? Let's go on with what we were doing. But it was unexpected. Swaha, swaha. What's all that in the distance? You see, there's some big dust cloud, some noise. What's that? Swaha, swaha. Don't worry. Swaha, swaha. And then the massive disturbance with the whole yajna arena destroyed, and the brahmanas punched out, and Daksha head cut off, and whew. That's why they're saying, is there Daksha Yajna? And there's some big disturbance unexpectedly arises called Daksha Yajna. So Krishna, he protected Kunti Devi in this verse. She describes how Krishna protected her sons in all difficult situations. There's a similar comment in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam by Shukdev Goswami himself. Rajan pati guru ralang bhavatang yadu naam daivam priya kulapati kvachakinkarovaha asveva manga bhagavan bhajatang mukundo mukting datati karhichit smana bhakti yoga. Shukdev Goswami, speaking to Parikshit, said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. While instructing Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami thought it wise to encourage the king because the king might be thinking of the glorious position of various royal dynasties. Especially glorious is the dynasty of Priyavrata, in which the Supreme Lord Rishabdev incarnated. Similarly, the family of Uttanapada Maharaja, the father of Maharaj Dhruva, is also glorious due to Lord Prithu's taking birth in it. The dynasty of Maharaj Raghu is glorified because Lord Ramachandra appeared in that family. As far as the Yadu and Kuru dynasties are concerned, they existed simultaneously, but of the two, the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit might have been thinking that the Kuru dynasty was not as fortunate as the others because the Supreme Lord did not appear in that family, neither as Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Rishabhdev, or Maharaj Prithu. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was encouraged by Shukdev Goswami in this particular verse. The Kuru dynasty may be considered more glorious due to the presence of devotees like the five Pandavas who rendered unalloyed devotional service. Although Lord Krishna did not appear in the Kuru dynasty, he was so obligated to the Pandavas' devotional service that he acted as a maintainer of the family and spiritual master of the Pandavas. Although he took birth in the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna was more affectionate to the Pandavas. By his actions, Lord Krishna proved that he was more inclined to the Kuru dynasty than the Yadu dynasty. Indeed, Lord Krishna, indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service, sometimes acted as their messenger, and he guided them through many dangerous situations. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit should not have been saddened because Lord Krishna did not appear in his family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always inclined toward his pure devotees, and by his action, it is clear that liberation is not very important for the devotees. Lord Krishna easily gives one liberation, but he does not so easily give one the facility to become a devotee. Mukting dadati karhi chit smana bhakti yoga. Directly or indirectly, it is proved that bhakti yoga is the basis for the supreme relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is far superior to liberation for a pure devotee of the Lord. Mukti is automatically attained. La shalya grahavati kripena vahani karnena vela kula ashvathama vikarna ghora makara duryodhana vartini sotirna khalu pandavai rananadi kaivartaka keshavaha. There's a versified translation. The verse was done by Hayagriva. Of that terrifying river of the battlefield of Kurukshetra over which the Pandavas victoriously crossed, Bhishma and Drona were as the high banks, Jayadrata as the river's water. The king of Gandhara, it's translated as the blue water lily, but another, I looked it up in the Sanskrit dictionary, it's like a stone in the water. Shalya the shark, Kripa the current, Karna the mighty waves, Ashvatthama and Vikarna the dread alligators, and Duryodhana the very whirlpool. But thou, O Krishna, wast the ferryman. So in the comparison is there of a very, if you're fallen in a river, so the battlefield of Kurukshetra is like a terrible river, you have to cross it. How are you going to cross it? Because they're very high banks. It's very wide and very violent current. The high banks are Bhishma and Drona. And the current is Jayadrata, who's not a very formidable foe. But he had the benediction that he could defeat all the Pandavas except Arjuna at least once. Then the king of Gandhara, Subal, is like rocks in the water. If you're in the water and it's a terrible current, you might try to struggle and somehow stay alive. But then if you're thrown by force into some big rock in the water, then you'll be smashed against the water. Then Shalya was like a shark in the water. You're struggling and there are rocks and you can't get over the high bank, and meanwhile there's sharks all around. And Vikarna, also a great warrior. He was also like the Makara, which is some kind of dreaded, translated here as alligator. Then Kripa was the current. Karna, the big waves. Ashvatthama Vikarna, the alligator. And then there's a whirlpool in the water. So how are you going to cross with all these obstacles? But there was a good boatman. The good boatman to take the Pandavas across was Keshava, Kaivartaka Keshava. So in this way, Shankaracharya poetically glorifies Krishna for protecting the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra, where it seemed impossible. Seemed impossible that they could win. But Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanadharaha, Tatra Shriya Vijaya Bhutya Dhruva Nitya Matir Mama. Where there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and the mighty bowman, Arjuna, then there's not only victory, but there's also opulence, morality. So Krishna protects. That's a great quality of Krishna. He protects his devotee. But then we may say, getting back to the Daksha Yajna, that Krishna, who's known as Brahmanya Dev, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, we pray to Krishna. Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. He's always interested in the welfare of the cows and the Brahmins. Jagatita, he's interested in the welfare of the whole universe. Krishna, Krishna, Govindaya Namo Namah. Then why, if he's partial to the Brahmins, why did he let this Daksha Yajna, in which there are many great Brahmanas from all over the universe, why did he let it be disrupted? And great Brahmanas like Bhrigu and Bhaga and Pusha and Daksha himself had his head cut off and others had their teeth smashed out and their heads smashed. Why did he allow that? You might say that that was a worse situation than Kurukshetra because Brahmanas were attacked. Whereas in Kurukshetra it was Kshatriyas fighting, with the exception of Drona and Ashvatthama. It was Kshatriyas fighting. In Kshatriyas they fight. That's what you expect. That's what they do. Otherwise, what's the meaning of them being Kshatriyas? Sukhina, Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yudham Idrisham. Kshatriyas become very happy when they get the opportunity to fight. As Krishna told Arjuna, why are you so unhappy? Kshatriyas are supposed to be happy. Huh? When they get the opportunity to fight. Apavritam, what is that? Swargadwaram, the doors to heaven become open for the Kshatriyas at the opportunity to fight. Both the Daksha Yajna, the destruction there, and the destruction of the Kuru dynasty. Had to take place, because in both instances great Vaishnavs were offended. And in fact, Vaishnav and Vaishnavi, Lord Shiva was offended. And particularly he himself didn't take offense. He warned Sati, don't go there, you won't be treated properly. He was quite satisfied. He knew that Daksha was envious toward him. He thought, anyway, let him be. I'll sit here. Krishna, Shiva himself wasn't inclined to go and say, oh, why is he envious of me? Why is he saying bad things about me? He's just peaceful, that's all. All right. But his wife, he warned his wife, don't go. But she went anyway. And then she became very offended, seeing the misbehavior of Daksha. It was actually toward her, but because she was the wife of Shiva. Otherwise he didn't have anything else against her, because he was so envious of Shiva. So she became offended. And of course, the Kurukshetra war, the Pandavas were offended, but particularly the grossest offense, more than, what is it? Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanada Sat Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritrita. There's so many things done to the Pandavas in the Asat Sabha, the gambling arena, their kingdom was wrongly taken away, all their possessions. But the worst thing on top of all of that, all of those offenses, because you shouldn't do it, but anyway, Kshatriyas, politicians, they do bad things to each other. Again, it's expected. If it's Vaishnavas, you wouldn't expect it, but the Duryodhana wasn't a Vaishnava. So you expect, if you're in the business of power, then they're going to be enemies. So all that, feeding the poisonous cake and trying to burn them in the house of luck, was a very cowardly thing to do. It's supposed to be Kshatriyas, and they try to burn them alive by some trick. But worse than everything was the attempted insult. It was an insult to Draupadi. It didn't come to the complete fruition. But even to drag her by her hair, especially when she was in that time when women don't come out at all, of course nowadays they do, but until about, say, 20 years or so ago, and women wouldn't be seen at a certain time of the month, and that was the time of the month when she was brought into the public assembly in front of everyone, and the attempt was made to disrobe her. So it was extremely offensive. And because of that, even if all the other things, even if all those other things hadn't taken place, for that alone, for the insulting of Draupadi, the whole Kuru dynasty had to be destroyed. Now, Shiva, well, in Kurukshetra, Krishna himself was there when Arjuna had this fantastic idea. Oh, we don't really... The fight's about to begin, but it didn't start yet. We don't have to fight. How about calling it all off? Krishna didn't like that at all. Krishna was in favor of the fighting. Vishnu was also present in a previous yajna that had been performed by Daksha, in which Shiva was insulted. Vishnu and Shiva, they didn't try to stop that attack by Shiva's associates. They didn't stop it. They let it take place. In both cases, Kurukshetra battle and the Daksha Yajna, it was a case of some envy that had sprung up within a family situation. Cousins, they shouldn't be envious to each other, but they were. The father should not be envious to the daughter, not to the son-in-law either. The son-in-law is supposed to be respected. Especially, apart from that, Lord Shiva should be respected. But they, in both cases, Duryodhana and Daksha, they're very proud of their position and their power. They thought they were unassailable, and they didn't care for the good advice of anyone. And due to being very proud, they committed very serious offenses. And they thought nothing could happen to them, but ultimately, they were totally destroyed. So in both cases, it was a case of offense to Vaishnavas that caused so much disruption and violence, even among great personalities. There have been so many wars in the world, and there are so many going on at the present time. Nowadays we don't call them wars, because it used to be that a war was one king would fight with his soldiers against another king and his soldiers. Or then it became one country when they kicked out all the kings. Where did that begin? That began That began in France, right? They kicked out the king. In Europe. In America, that came first. Which came first, America or France? Revolution?
King of Kings.
Yeah, they kicked out the king. All over Europe, France was the inspiration for getting rid of all the kings. So then it became, instead of one king fighting, it became countries fighting against each other. And now there are wars going on, but you don't know what's going on. They don't even declare war, and they just bomb cities and kill people, and different groups of people fighting. You haven't got a clue why they're fighting. They also probably don't even have a clue why they're fighting. It's really Kali Yuga gone bizarre and berserk, and acts of terrorism can take place anytime, any place. The mayor of London recently went to New York and told everyone, hey, you better get used to it. This terrorism is here to stay. That any time, any place, you can just be all blown up. So just get used to it, he told them. That's life as it's going on. So this is the world nowadays. War is brought right into everywhere. It's everywhere. Any time, any place it can happen. So wars are going on. There's so many wars in the history of the world. But why is it, not only the history of this little planet, but of the whole universe? But why are the battle of Kurukshetra and the Daksha Yajna, why is importance given to them in Shastra? Why these particular, there are other battles described, just like for instance, in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, there's a description of, there's one chapter titled, The War Between the Demigods and the Demons on the Bank of the Milk Ocean. So that's always going on, Devasura Yuddha, the fight between the demigods and the demons. It's either going on directly or there's some cold war. There's always animosity. And between the demigods and the demons, and sometimes it blows up into a full-fledged battle. But why are these two battles given so much importance? Well, the battle of Kurukshetra is important because Krishna was personally present there and he spoke Bhagavad Gita. He was personally involved. And in the Daksha Yajna also, he was there, and Lord Shiva was personally involved. So these are the two greatest personalities of all universes, Vishnu and Shiva. And also, they both directly give us the lesson of the results of Vaishnava Parada. All these wars are going on due to envy of others. Dr. Sahadev Das, you all know him, Temple President of ISKCON Secunderabad. He's written a few books on the theme. One of them, the title, if I remember, is that violence will not stop until slaughterhouses are closed. So people don't see the connection. They're killing animals. Huge slaughterhouse, like a small city in Hyderabad, for killing animals, especially cows. And the result, the reaction will come. But people don't see it because the laws of nature are very subtle. You may not directly see it. But in the case of the Kurukshetra battle, and the Daksha Yajna, there was a direct, tangible link. Draupadi had been insulted. The Pandavas had been mistreated. They're Vaishnavas. There was offense to Vaishnavas. And in the Daksha Yajna, immediately just the when Virabhadra and all the associates of Lord Shiva came to destroy the arena of Daksha's Yajna. They came because Sati, being so much insulted by her father, she decided that this body is, because it came from you, this body is, I can't bear to live in it anymore. And therefore she sat down and by yogic meditation produced fire and died in that way. So that was the immediate cause, and also Daksha, his whole attitude of envy, animosity, with absolutely no cause, just because he was of very low consciousness. He thought, I'm a big demigod, very high position, but his consciousness was very poor, very low. Not just poor, it was wicked consciousness, by which he was envious of Lord Shiva. So this had to... So the link is there. That's all, also we see... From these two incidences, we can understand directly what is the effect of Vaishnav Aparada. The Shastra teaches us about dharma, how to live in this world in a manner according to the direction of Shastra. And there are many violations of dharma for which one may perform atonement, known as prayaschitta. But there's no prayaschitta for Vaishnavaparada. It's not that if you commit Vaishnavaparada, it's not that you can do some Chandrayana vrata, very difficult austerity, to become free from the effect. The only way is to be forgiven by the Vaishnava. If one offends a Vaishnava, Krishna takes that more seriously than he does insults to himself. The Shishupal, he was completely Krishna conscious, in the sense that he was always thinking of Krishna, but always insulting him, again and again and again. He was expert in dreaming up all kinds of bad things to say about Krishna, because there is nothing bad to say about Krishna. He is he is goodness. God is good. There's nothing bad about him, but only someone of a very envious and demoniac attitude will criticize Krishna. And Shishupal, just his whole life, criticizing, insulting, blaspheming, defaming Krishna. Krishna would have killed him earlier for his own good. So, and for the good of the world, so that people wouldn't hear such things. But already he had given a promise. After all, they're all in the same family, to his mother, that all right, if I'll tolerate. He shouldn't insult me, but if he does 100 times, you wouldn't think that someone would insult someone else 100 times in their life. Maybe husband to wife or wife to husband, if they have a really bad relationship, they might do it 100 times in a day. Well, maybe that's a bit too much, even for the worst relationship. But their cousins, as it happened, they didn't even see them each other very much, because Shishupal was the king of Chedi, and that wasn't the main geographical area in which Krishna performed his pastimes. He was on the western side. So they didn't see each other that much, but Shishupal made a point of, every time I see him, I'm going to let him know what I think about that wretch, that rogue. Especially, he's very upset after Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, who he is supposed to marry. Shishupal, yeah, I'm going to marry Rukmini. And then all of a sudden Krishna came, and he took her on the chariot and rode off. Bye-bye! And they're all very upset. So Shishupal, he never thought, well, maybe I should just cool down a bit and You know, nothing to be gained from insulting. He never thought such a thing. Just became more and more angry and insulting all the time. So, but Krishna, he didn't get angry. Even when he killed Shishupal, he wasn't particularly angry at him. He was ready to do a kichak on him. With kichak, that came a little later, but this kichak, who also insulted Draupadi, he squashed him into a ball. Because he was used to, Bhima at that time was working in the kitchen, so he was used to getting the dough and making it into a ball. So he did that with kichak. He made him into a ball of flesh. Bhima was very angry. Nakul and Sahadev, they're very angry. Krishna said, because that's what Sahadev thought, I'll insult him. And if they make a fight and blood is spilled, then the whole sacrifice will be stopped. Because if there's blood in the sacrifice, the sacrifice has to be done in a pure place. And if there's blood falls, then they can't perform the sacrifice. That's what happened in the Daksha Yagya. They spilled a lot of blood. So that was his idea. That either I'll get away with the insulting, or there'll be a fight, and then the whole yagya, all the preparation, everything, will all come to nothing. So Krishna said, don't worry, I'll look after it. Sudarshan Chakra lopped off his head in such a way that not a drop of blood fell on the ground. So Krishna was smarter than Shishupal, of course. But the point is that Krishna kept cool. He can get angry, but he kept cool. But when his devotee is offended, then Krishna, he cannot tolerate. That we see during the battle of Bhishma also knew that if I fight with Krishna, Krishna won't mind. But if I fight with Arjuna and try to kill Arjuna, Krishna will become very unhappy. And that actually happened. That either my promise will be broken, Bhishma had given a promise, tomorrow I will kill Arjuna. So the only way, I'm going to fight tomorrow in such a way, he promised Duryodhana, I'm going to fight in such a way that Arjuna will be killed. And the only way that Arjuna cannot be killed is if Krishna comes and fights and protects Arjuna. But Krishna had given a vow not to fight, not to raise any weapon. So either my promise is going to be broken or his promise. So Krishna, when Bhishma was fighting so strongly that Arjuna looked like he'd be killed, then Krishna got so angry. Bhishma is also his devotee, but he was fighting, trying to kill another devotee. So Krishna became so angry at that time. He was ready to kill. It wasn't just some drama. He was ready to kill Bhishma. And then the end of the day came. So Krishna, he can't tolerate that his devotee will be offended. So this effect, we can see from both the Kurukshetra battle and the Daksha Yagya. The effect of Vaishnava Aparad is very severe. It might not come about immediately. Sometimes people ask, well, why did the Pandavas go through 13 years of having to live in the forest, 12 years, and then 1 year incognito? It was just like a doctor, if they see the pus is forming in the boil, they won't lance it. I mean, let it become pakka. Let all the pus, let all the poison come, then we'll cut it. So the offenses built up and built up and built up and built up. when the time was right. There's a time for everything. When the time was right, then the battle took place. And then wholesale destruction. He gave all opportunity to Duryodhana. You can make peace. It became very clear who was godly, who was ungodly. Everything became very clear. Of course, there may be some cases that were just like, why was Drona on this? He was Drona and Bhishma, they were respected by the Pandavas, but they ended up on the other side. Why was that? Life, well, as Bhishma himself said, when Draupadi asked him in the assembly, is this according to dharma? I'm being treated like this? You answer. You're all big, famous. Bhishma, you're known as, you're big on dharma. You know all about dharma. Tell me, is this dharma or not? She challenged him. And Bhishma said, well, you know, dharma is very subtle and it's very difficult to say. Yeah. So, dharma is very subtle. So he ended up on the wrong side. Of course, there are even more subtle considerations that Krishna's desire behind it all. Vikarna, he was actually a good guy. He was in the insulting of Draupadi. He was the only one who said, no. He was the only one who said, this is wrong. Everyone knew it was wrong, except Duryodhana and Karna and the people who were with him. But he's Duryodhana said, you sit down, you little brat. He's his younger brother. Who the hell are you, some young boy? You just sit down and shut up. But he did speak the right thing, but he was on the wrong side. But basically, it became clear who is on the right side, who is on the wrong side. They're all brought together and all destroyed. One case of sometimes people become confused. What about Karna? He seemed to be a good guy. He was Datta Karna. He gave in charity. He was just some bad luck. He was actually meant to be the king. He should have been the king. Not Yudhishthira, but by some bad luck, he ended up being brought up in a low-class family. Well, there's also there are many lessons to learn from all these narrations. But one thing, Karna was in bad association. Somehow or other, he was picked up by Duryodhana. Duryodhana favored him. And then he felt loyal to Duryodhana. And he took pleasure in that which Duryodhana took pleasure in. Duryodhana took pleasure in Draupadi being insulted. Karna also took pleasure because he thought, I'm indebted to him. So you may say he had the good quality of loyalty, but that was misplaced. You see, Duryodhana helped me so much. I was being insulted. Draupadi wouldn't have anything to do with me because I'm not a kshatriya. So Duryodhana made me a kshatriya, gave me a kingdom. So I'm indebted to him. He's done so much for me. So someone may do something good for you, but one should be intelligent enough that if that person goes on the wrong path, you shouldn't follow him. Said, oh, he helped me. He helped me so much, so now I have to stick with him, even when he's going on the wrong path. But Karna stayed. He was very loyal, but he was loyal to the wrong person. Bad association. So he may think, how does this all relate to us? It's nice hearing all these stories from the Puranas, in the Mahabharata. But it was all a long time ago, Daksha Yagya on another planet. And what's it got to do with us? Well, it's the same thing. It's going on in our life. Maybe not in such a dramatic way. We're not such important people that Krishna himself personally comes, or Vishnu or Shiva comes to our sacrifice. Actually, when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present. We may not perceive that, but Krishna is as much as we chant, as much as we chant with actual feeling for Krishna, we can actually perceive Krishna is present. But anyway, we're very small people. We're not big people like Yudhishthira and Arjuna and Kunti and Sati or Daksha. He's also a very big person. Later he got direct darshan of the Lord, offering prayers to him. But the same kind of situations we face, not exactly the same, but this material world is such that all kinds of difficulties arise. We're all trying to formulate our life. You see, you go to school, and then you try to choose which university you'll go to and get a job, and everyone's trying to arrange their life for their own best benefit. As devotees also, we think, well, I could serve here, or I could do that service, I can accept this guru or another guru, and we're always thinking how to make our life as good as possible for our own benefit. But the actual fact is that circumstances, they dictate much more than we can control them. We can't control anything. Karta aham, ahankara iti angme, karta aham iti manyate. If we think, I'm in control of this situation, that's simply egoism. We can make a little adjustment here and there. Maybe instead of going to this university, I'll go to that university. And it's a major decision which makes a major influence in our life. But actually there are so many things that are beyond our control. Even our whole mentality, which we have, karanam guna sangosya sada sadyoni janmasu, we have acquired a certain mentality due to our previous actions, and we are washed around in the modes of material nature, purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan guna. We're washed around in the great ocean of material life. And as much as we are in contact with these bad qualities, how did all this come about? Kurukshetra war, Daksha Yagya, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. You can see Kurukshetra, Kama. You may say Yudhishthira desired to have the kingdom. That was not a material desire. He desired for the service of Krishna. Duryodhana, because he desired the kingdom, unlawfully, the battle had to come about. Krodha, because he was willing to resort to violence to maintain his position. Lobha, that's when karma, desire, becomes intense and over a long period of time, sustained, that is, with the object, a particular object in mind, that's called lobha, greed, mada, pride, Duryodhana, very proud, no one can take anything, I'll hold on to the kingdom, no one can take it away from me, moha, this is his illusion. I live forever. He doesn't think, anyway, I have to die soon, so let me act in a pious way. And Matsarya, his enviousness of the Pandavas. So we can see these bad qualities. or in Duryodhana, they caused so much disturbance. And those who associated with him, they also became full of bad qualities. Daksha Yagya also, Kama, Daksha out of desire made this Yagya, some material desire. Then Krodha, he, of course, he was attacked by the associates of Lord Shiva. They were very angry. But that was in response to his anger and envy of Lord Shiva. What is this, my daughter? Why is she behaving like this? He rejected her. So all these pride, desire for position, all these bad qualities. So we can't control our situation. We don't know what's going to happen. Just like Daksha Yagya. You didn't know, it wasn't expected. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, battle was going, you don't know how it's going to go. Who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's going to die, who's going to stay alive. It's all unpredictable, moment to moment. But what we can choose, we can choose our association. Whatever happens in this world, we can choose our association, and we can choose to do what is right. Of course, we have to learn what is right from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And we have to, whatever happens, we have to keep our faith in the lotus feet of Krishna. Kaivartaka Keshava. We all face the terrible river with high banks and a ferocious current and alligators and sharks and rocks. Again, maybe not in such a dramatic way as the Pandavas faced it, but we're all in the ocean of material existence. We can take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna will carry us across. In the world of the present day, the problems all come about the same thing. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsya, same thing. In different ways, the world hasn't changed. It's the same contamination and it's the same solution. Take shelter of Krishna. Jai Shokol Bipod Bhakti Vinod Balen Jokonanam Gai. Especially in this Kali Yuga, we take shelter of chanting of Krishna by chanting his holy names. We become delivered from all difficulties and dangers. So this, although these incidents happened long ago, in different circumstances, with different people, the same lesson we have to get. Same lessons. There are so many lessons to learn from all the narrations of Shastra. Keep good association, keep good consciousness, take shelter of Krishna, we'll be saved. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha yashami masacha. Krishna promises us, if we surrender to him fully, take full shelter of him, he will deliver us from all sinful. The difficulties we are facing, what are they? They're caused by ourselves, by our own sinful activities. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktritve hetu rujyate. Krishna will deliver us. Take shelter of Krishna. Now, Hare Krishna. I'll finish the lecture there.